Turning your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. And we're going to read the first three verses. Okay, I'll turn this on now. Okay, I got it on now. 2 Peter chapter 2, and beginning at verse 1. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily or privately, secretly, shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious, licentious, sensual ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned or false words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Their judgment lingers not. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word. Speak to our hearts. May we take heed to what you've given us this morning. May we take it to heart. May we take a stand. May we stand for truth and righteousness, for the glory and honor and of Jesus Christ, for the purity of the Word of God in a day when men would make merchandise of the Word of God and merchandise and exploit those who would seek to follow and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord. Help us today to honor you. Bless as I preach. Give me strength and blessing and boldness. And speak to my heart and work in my heart, Lord, through your word. We all need help. We need you, Lord, more than we've ever needed you before, because we know the day is approaching. The return of Jesus Christ draws nigh. It may be today that we will be caught up to be with the Lord in the air at the rapture of the church, and may we be ready. It may be today you will call us home through the way of death, and so may we be ready today, not tomorrow, but today. So help us. If there be anyone here who is not sure of their salvation or has never trusted Christ as Savior, may today be the day of salvation for them. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God's word, God's truth is pure and holy and without error whatsoever, and he is very jealous for the protection, for the preservation, for the purity of his word. He will not put up with those who tamper with and distort and alter the word of God until it becomes nothing more than a perversion of man. And that's what men are doing today. He has guarded and protected his word for some 3,500 years, including the Old Testament. And he is not about to let some charlatan, some ambassador of Satan, to try to change the truth into a lie without facing severe consequences. And they are very severe, and they're very sobering to read about, as we see in this passage we read, and as really we see in the whole chapter of 2 Peter chapter 2. It's filled with judgment upon those who would tamper with the purity of the Word of God. In this passage we just read, it warns them that they will surely face swift destruction. They will face swift destruction. Their eternal judgment, in other words, will come quickly, for it lingers not, verse 3. And their damnation slumbers not. It's not asleep. Their damnation doesn't need to be awakened or woke up. See, God is a holy God, a righteous God, and he will judge those who think they can outsmart God. You see, God is a judge. I'm not the judge. You're not the judge. God is going to judge everyone, everything one day. And he sits in judgment upon any and all who deny the Lord that bought them, as we read. See, God is speaking about and warning the people about false teachers. Any false teachers today, or was that just in old time? They've always been. They always will be until Christ comes again. And so he's warning his people about false teachers. He's warning you and me about false teachers. That's why he has this in the Word of God, the Bible, so we would take heed to this warning. You see, these men claim to be teachers of God's truth, God's Word, but in fact, they are not. They look like teachers. They even act and sound somewhat like true Bible teachers, but they are fake. They are fake. We hear all about fake news today. Well, there's a lot of fake preaching going on too. You see, the church is full of fake teachers, and people everywhere are seduced and deceived by these snake oil salesmen. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4. They promote the lies of Satan, disguising the lies of Satan as the truth of God. And it's amazing that these people would be so blind and so foolish to do such a dangerous and perilous thing, but that's the power and control of Satan that he has over men who refuse to submit to the authority and the lordship of Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians 4, verse 1. Paul writes, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully." Paul's saying, we handle it truthfully, not deceitfully, like these false teachers. "But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake." You see, remember, Satan is not the ambassador of truth and love and peace and joy. On the contrary, he is the polar opposite. He is the father of lies, John 8:44. He will worm his way into the church and use his deception and false teaching to attack the true flock like you and me. And we have the idea that if Satan comes strolling into the church, we'll know him. We'll be able to smell him, sniff him out. Not so easy. Not so easy. For he and his minions disguise themselves as what? Angels of light. Wow. They look like they're holy, like they're godly. They're angels of light. Turn on over to 2 Corinthians 11 in verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11, 13. "For such," these deceivers, "are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." They look like true messengers of God. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their work. Notice that. His, Satan's ministers, some people call me your minister. Well, my minister is Terry Post. And I say, no, we are all ministers. We are all servants. That's what the word minister says. But in this context, his ministers, his servants, are transformed. In other words, Satan has ministers. He has men of the cloth that are his pawns, and he will use them to infiltrate the church and bring deception and trouble. You see, a minister, a preacher, is to minister, to serve the word of God. He is a minister of light and life, but Satan's ministers are ministers of death and darkness. But because Satan turns into an angel of light, it's no marvel, no surprise that he will use men to do his bidding. And as Satan will come as a wolf in sheep's clothing, so his servants will come looking like God's servants. You see, a false teacher looks like a sheep. He looks just like a sheep. He walks like a sheep. He baths like a sheep. He will look like a preacher. He will stand behind a pulpit, and he will preach right out of the Bible. He will. And he'll preach truth. much of it will be truth. Let's say rat poison is only a couple percent poison. The rest is good grain. Yeah, he'll preach right out of the Bible. And people will listen because they think, my, isn't he a nice, caring man? And he has a nice family. And he dresses so nicely. And his sermons are very inspiring and uplifting. And he looks like a shepherd, but inside, he's a ravening wolf. He's a ravening wolf that would devour the people to whom he preaches. See, Satan doesn't come into the church with a can of gas and a torch threatening to set fire if we don't worship him. He comes looking like a saint, like a child of God. Dearly beloved, let us turn into our Bibles and let us look at what the Word of God says. He's had a lot of experience at deceiving people, so he knows the game, and we need to be aware and alert to his schemes and attempts to destroy the body of Christ, because destroy he will if he can, and to deceive you if he could. He will tell people who listen that they are all the children of God by faith. We're all children of God because Christ died to take everybody to heaven. And he will say that because God is not willing that any should perish, none will. Nobody will perish. All are children of God. That one only needs to be kind and loving to his neighbor, and he will then be like God. And he is just to do unto others as he would have men do unto him. God has put warning after warning after warning in Scripture as far back as the establishment of the nation of Israel about false prophets and teachers. Turn, if you will, to Deuteronomy 13. Deuteronomy 13. And we see God warning Moses against false prophets. You see, God doesn't look very lightly upon these people and what they do to the truth of God. Warning from God. Mess with the Word of God, and the God of the Word will mess with you. And he will. That's why we need to handle the Word of God very carefully. We need to take our Bibles very seriously. And we're no better than false teachers if we go home and set our Bibles on a shelf and never look at them again until the preacher preaches the next sermon on the next Sunday. Shame on us. We're to be in the Word of God. We're to be students of the Word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We're to be children of God's word. Okay, Deuteronomy 13, verse 1. God said, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder. You ever heard of signs and wonders today? Yeah, we have this in the charismatic movement, the signs and wonders movement. In other words, they're still performing miracles and healings and tongues and all sorts of things today. Well, if this sign or wonder, and they say, come, let us go after other gods, which thou hast not known, let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. You shall serve him and cling to him. By the way, that's for you and me to do today. Are you serving him, clinging to him, loving him, keeping his commandments right now? Are you in the will of God now? Are you obeying God now? Are you loving him now? Are you where you ought to be spiritually now? And that prophet, verse 5, or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put away the evil from the midst of thee. And God's word is the same for us today. We're to put it away. We're to mark them that cause divisions. We're to be separate from evil. Christ himself warned of false prophets in the end times. He said in Matthew 24:11, and many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. In Matthew 7:15, he said, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. By their fruits you shall know them. In 1 John 4:1, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. In 2 John verse 7, many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Verse 10 of 2 John, if there come unto you any and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of the evil deeds. In other words, that's saying, don't say God bless you as you go and you spread your false teaching. No, that's the idea. Now the problem that Peter faced, going back to what Peter wrote as we began with, and warned his fellow believers about, is the same one we face today. Mankind has not changed since the time of Moses, since the time of Peter. As long as there is a devil, we will have the devil's henchmen to battle, and battle we must. We must fight the good fight of faith. We've got to soldier up. We've got to put on the whole armor of God, as Paul admonishes the Christian to do in Ephesians 6, verse 10 and following. We've got to put on the armor of God. We live in a day when we're supposed to be so loving and non-judgmental that we're accepting of anything and anyone that claims to be spiritual and not judge. If they say they're religious and spiritual, then leave them alone. How do you know? Who are you to judge? I say, I know who we are to judge. We are Christians, and we've been given a commandment by God to judge. But we're told to be accepting of anything anyone claims to be spiritual. But to accept these devils and not warn believers is the most unloving thing we can do. To just turn the other way. If your child picks up a rattlesnake, say you have a 7-year-old boy who's just fascinated with snakes, and he grabs a rattlesnake and he says, Mommy, look what I got. Daddy, look here. And you say, what do you say? Oh, isn't that a pretty snake? He must be a nice snake to have those markings. And listen to that cute little rattle. Why, Johnny, that's wonderful. No, you don't say that. You'd grab your shovel or knife, and you'd kill that thing as quickly as you could. Or you'd grab him and you'd hightail it out of there. That's what I knew. Why? Because you love your child, and you don't want to see your child harm. So it is. God loves you and me. And thus he sounds a warning. We need to deal with snakes that come looking like fuzzy, cute little caterpillars or something. By their fruits you shall know them, Jesus warned us. And judge righteous judgment, he tells us. We hear this, oh, judge not lest ye be judged. And yet the Lord warned us, judge righteous judgment. In Matthew 7, is that? Not even sure where it's at. We are to judge. In other words, we're to be discerning. We're not to be gullible and swallow every lie that's out there just because someone claims to be a preacher, a God's man, a man of the cloth. And believe not every spirit, but try or test the spirits, as we read. Well, let's look at these first three verses of chapter 2. That was all just an introduction, by the way. So let's look at 1 Peter, 2 Peter, chapter 2. The first three verses, and we'll consider God's loving warnings. We're going to look at five marks of false teachers. By the way, we're only going to look at point number one this morning, okay? So you can, okay. And by the way, this outline is on the back of your bulletin if you'd like to see it. I found room there. So five marks of false teachers, God's loving warning. Five marks of false teachers. Number one, where will we find them? Verse one. We'll find them among you. Number two, what they do. What do false teachers do? Verse one again, they deny the Lord. Number three, who will follow them? Verse two, many will follow them. Number four, how they harm. They harm through covetousness, and they make merchandise of people. Verse three, and when will they be judged? Verse three, their judgment lingers not, and they face swift destruction. It's going to be quick. Really quick. So we'll look at all of those, but just number one today, where we'll find them. Verse one, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. That's where we'll find them. Notice Peter begins with the word but. But Peter has just finished speaking about the more sure word of prophecy that we're to take heed to. The holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The word given through men as a Holy Spirit carried them along back in chapter 1, verse 21, giving them the very words to put down for our teaching. And he's let them know that they need to take heed to that light that is shining in this dark place. And they're privileged and blessed to possess the inerrant, infallible word of the living God. And right on the heels of that great positive truth about the word of God given by God, by inspiring holy men to write as God moved them, carried them along, right on the heels of this great truth comes a warning, beginning with the word but. But there were false prophets. On the one hand, yes. On the other hand, watch out. Watch out. But there will be false prophets, false teachers among you. So, but marks a very negative truth. There shall be false teachers among you. So mark it down. There will be false teachers through holy, godly prophets. God has spoken his truth to the people. But through false teachers, Satan always imitates. Satan seeks to deceive people, and he will lead those very people away from the truth. As you see in our passage, we don't have to look very far to find them, do we? They will be among you. They will be right in the church. They'll be among you. They'll be part of your church family. They'll be in the church, in your classes, in your fellowships. They will look like Christians. They will act like Christians. They will talk like Bible-believing Christians. And they will even teach many truths of the Bible that Christians believe. And many times those that intend to do evil will infiltrate the very society, community, organization where they want to perpetrate their evil deeds or evil teaching. Remember the 9/11 terrorists in the year 2001, September 11th, and took down the Twin Towers and all that, and thousands died? What'd they do? Where'd they come from? They lived in the United States. They lived among us. They lived among us, and we were not alert. We were not aware of what they were planning. Many said we should have been. Today, terrorists continue to infiltrate our country to try to destroy our country from within. When I hear these reports, oh man, I get so discouraged. I don't want to hear it all. How they're in, I mean, they're in Congress now. They're in the White House. They're everywhere. And we send spies to other countries, don't we, to gain access to that country's secrets. Everybody has spies. And our spies, like we send to Russia, we have Russian spies. And our Russian spies, they speak Russian. They act like Russians. But they're not Russians. Pedophile men will disguise themselves as religious people. Like the Roman Catholic Church has had a real epidemic of this. It's a real problem. Hundreds and hundreds of Roman Catholic priests have been exposed as being pedophiles who prey on young boys. And by the way, other churches are not immune from that. That has happened in some Baptist churches and so on. They'll come into the church. They'll look religious where they can deceive people, and they'll prey on young people without being suspected or caught. Turn to Jeremiah 5. And so it is that false teachers will infiltrate the church to market their wares and their deception, to lead people astray, to try to destroy their faith. And they'll often take advantage of them and exploit them for their loyalty and their following and their money. And many, many of these so-called charismatic televangelists, many of them, not all, but many of them are simply bilking gullible people out of their hard-earned money to finance their multi-million dollar jets and multi-million dollar mansions. Check them out, and you'll find that to be true of many. Many, not all, many. and fund their lavish lifestyle. They care nothing for the true gospel. They're out to milk and bilk people of everything they've got. And in Old Testament times, these spiritual mercenaries plagued God's people. There were false prophets among the people, and they rose up within the ranks of the Israelites. Jeremiah 5 and verse 30. A mind-boggling and horrible thing is committed in the land. Verse 31, the prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. So what will you do in the end thereof? In other words, here come these false prophets, and the children of Israel loved them because they promised them good things without much sacrifice. Chapter 6 of Jeremiah. Verse 13, chapter 6, verse 13. For from the least of them even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness, from the prophet even to the priest, everyone that deals falsely. And they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, barely, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. That's happening today. Oh, everybody's going to heaven. Oh, there is no hell. We're having peace, peace. We're going to bring in the kingdom of God on this earth. All we got to do is work hard to bring it in, and there'll be peace. And God says, but there is no peace unless there's peace in the heart through repentance and faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Even during the earthly other passages are Jeremiah 23, the whole chapter basically, Jeremiah 28, Ezekiel 13, and others. But even during the earthly ministry of Christ, there were plenty of false prophets to go around. And we see repeatedly that the Lord had no patience with them. They must be denounced. Yes, the lowly, lovely Jesus denounced them in no uncertain terms. Christ warned us to beware of them. Beware because they are deceivers. They are charlatans. Jesus said this. They're frauds. They're fake teachers, imposters, pretenders, masqueraders, hoodwinkers. They look like the real deal, but they are not. Christ says that we must judge. We must be discerning and distinguishing. And we distinguish the true from the false, the genuine from the imposter, by his fruit. We watch his life. We look up and see, by the way, where does he live? How many multi-million dollar mansions does he have? And what does he really teach? We distinguish the true from the false, the genuine from the imposter, by his fruit. By what he says and teaches, and he lives. That's the trouble of following televangelists and TV preachers. A lot of times you don't know what their life is like. You know my life very much. You know me, and I know you. And that's all kind of scary, isn't it? But that's the way it should be. Christ denounced the Pharisees. He denounced the religious. They were the religious. They were the spiritual ones in Israel. And Jesus denounces religious leaders of the Jewish people for their hypocrisy and their exploitation of the people that they were to teach and to serve. And Jesus, in no uncertain term, pronounced woes upon them in Matthew 23. He said, woe for the judgment that is coming for your sins. And they elevated their tradition, their man-made tradition, above the scripture. And Christ said in Matthew 23:15, woe unto you, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more in the child of hell than yourselves. And he called them for what they were, children of hell. That's Jesus speaking. Unwittingly working to bring others to hell with them. Some unwittingly, some knowingly. And he told them they were like whitewashed tombs. They were painted white. They looked beautiful on the outside, but inside were full of dead men's bones. Jesus uses some very strong language in Matthew 23. And he concluded his angry denunciation with this. Matthew 23:33, you serpents, you generation of snakes, how can you escape the damnation of hell? How are you going to escape it? In other words, he's saying, you're not. You're going to hell. Jesus said that. They are going to hell. They're going to burn in hell forever for their deception. And those who follow will face the same fate. And just as he knew that false prophets were among the Jewish people, God's people, there would also be false teachers among you and me, among the Christians in the church, back at 2 Peter 2, verse 1. Paul sounded the warning to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine. Right, solid teaching. Heaping to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, the people have itching ears, and they want teachers that will scratch them behind the ear, right? They want their ears scratched where it makes them feel good. I just want a preacher that preaches nice things and makes me feel good and lets me know we're all going to heaven and so on. Acts 20, 29, Paul said this, I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Sometimes within the very local church, false teachers will rise up. And he warns them in Romans 16, 17, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Mark them or point them out. Point at them. Watch them. Name them. And we should be willing to name names. You see, these false teachers, they preach what people want to hear. And the people love to have it so, as in Jeremiah's day. They preach that there is no hell. Or that we can't be sure of that. We can't be sure there's a hell. You know, I don't like that teaching on hell. I thought, wow, if there's a hell, that means those who are not Christians are going there. And that's hard to comprehend. And so what do we do? Well, I don't like thinking about it, so I'll do away with it. So there is no hell. I officially declare today there is no hell. Or that one can't be sure there's no hell. They preach that sin is not something we need to talk about. That repentance is not needed. That you can just live your best life now. God wants to have you live your best life now. And they preach a prosperity gospel. A name it and claim it gospel, which is another gospel, not the gospel of the Bible. As Paul warned about in Galatians 1, verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that calleth you into the grace of Christ into a different gospel. Into a different gospel, which is not another, but there's some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. There are false teachers everywhere today. They're everywhere. They're online. They're on TV. They're on the radio. Pastors of mega churches. And all of us probably have a friend or friends who are followers of one or many of these false prophets. And if there's a way to make money by deception and the exploitation of Christians, these people know how to do it, and they are very, very good at it. And it's often hard to discern whether they're true preachers are false. False teachers thrive when the church becomes more and more like the world. They love a worldly church. Plays right into their hand. The church likes the world and wants the world, and thus enter the prosperity, name it, and claim it preacher who can offer the world and the lust of the world and the riches of the world with a little gospel sprinkled on it to soothe the conscience. Churches that no longer endure sound doctrine or God-centered worship. Preaching from the pulpit, preaching from the pulpit is replaced with smoke and mist and fog and strobe lights and a rock and roll concert with black leather and all the trappings of a concert. The church has become an entertainment spectacle, a circus, a pop psychology forum. The stage is in set and ready to go for the type of preacher that everybody wants. One that will give everybody what they want to hear. and the music that makes them feel good. And rather than having an emphasis upon the need to live lives of holiness, where's the preaching about holiness today, and righteousness, and sacrifice, and repentance, and prayer, and Bible study? The focus is on what makes me feel good, what makes me happy about myself and having a church that can meet my felt needs. Was that what the church is to do, meet my needs? I thought the church is a place where I as a Christian come and serve. How about you going out and meeting other people's needs? And then your needs will be met, right? That's the way we ought to do it. And a church that has gone that direction will be very susceptible to bringing in a false teacher that will be glad to accommodate worldly lusts and cravings. You see, again, false teachers will be among us. They'll walk right in through the front door, and they'll be welcomed by the unsuspecting, the undiscerning, and the gullible. So we need to be on guard. The pastor and the leaders must guard the flock and teach the flock. We need to stand for right doctrine, right teaching. We need to stand just for the good old Bible. Just preach the word. We need the word. Doctrine, teaching, wholesome words of life from the word of God. And what a blessing the word of God is. What joy. My needs are met in Christ. He is sufficient. Man is not sufficient. No, the Bible is. It's everything we need. It's Christ in you, as Paul writes in Colossians 1, verse 27. Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's enough. He is enough for me. Christ. And Paul writes to the Thessalonians, and I'm coming to a close here, but turn, if you will, to 2 Thessalonians 1, beginning of verse 2. This is what we ought to be. A church like the church at Thessalonica, whom God, through Paul, commended. These are God's words. And this is what you can be, and I can be, standing for the truth of God. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you of our prayers, remembering without cease, what? Your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. In other words, they are laboring, serving for the true gospel. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us. They followed Paul. And by following Paul and his companions, they were following the truth. And of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you are examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Are you an example? Your home? Your children? Your spouse, to your co-workers. I don't mean you go and you preach every day, but are you living a Christian life and taking the opportunity as God gives us those divine appointments to share the gospel, to share your testimony. Be an example to all. Everybody knew about this church. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia, Achaia, but also in every place your faith to God's word is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. And how, in other words, they show us that our coming and sharing the gospel made an impact on you. It made a difference in your life. Is a word making a difference in your life? Has it changed you? If not, are you really saved? Because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. The old has passed away. All things are become new. You turn from God. You turn to God from idols. Have you turned from your sin? Have you repented? Or are you being pulled back into sin? No. Time to repent and look to Christ, and he will forgive. And to turn to the living true God and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, and even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Wow. We need to turn from idols, turn from sin to God, And we need to stand for and live from the purity of the gospel. We love, yes, we love people. We love them. You and I need to be the most loving people in the world. We love one another. We love every single person within this body, within this local church. Love them all. I don't agree with them all. Don't always even get along with everybody, but love them all. And I'm not going to say anything bad about anybody because I love them too much. We're to love one another. And we love sinners. We love those who are apart from Christ and need Christ. You know, we love the most vile because they need the Lord, and God can transform anyone. But our love is founded on the truth. We speak the truth in love. And true love for God and man will stand for and fight for truth. In other words, love doesn't tolerate evil. Love is willing to live. Being willing to live with evil and not make waves and not say anything might cause people to like me, but that isn't real love. Love stands for the truth. Maintaining peace at any cost isn't love. Tolerating sin isn't love. To say, it's okay, don't worry about it, to a person who did something wrong isn't really loving, as with your children. When they do something wrong, if you love them, you're going to correct them, right? But we love ourselves so much that we don't want to go through the hassle of dealing with what is wrong and sinful. Love doesn't call wrong right, right? Love reaches out to others in a way that they can be reconciled to God and have eternal life from God. May God help us to be tools of love and the truth. And we can be, by God's grace. Let's look to him in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to look in this passage together. There are many hard things, many things that aren't necessarily pleasant, but we know they're needful, they're necessary. Help us, Lord, to live them out. Help us to indeed take a stand, but do it in love. Do it in love, to speak the truth, but always speak it in love, Lord. Help us to be bold, yet not brash. Not brash. We can be kind and loving as we stand for what is right. And Lord, we're missing that many times today. We're not always as kind. We're not kind in our own homes, to our children, our spouses. Oh, Lord, give us the gift of kindness. May we be clothed in kindness and grace and love for one another, for our family, and even for those outside of Christ. But then be willing to share the truth that all men are sinners and are headed for an eternity without Christ, lest they repent and turn. Help us, Lord, to be that light, to be a city on a hill, a light that cannot be hid, and share your word and be faithful. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity this morning. Bless now as we close. In Jesus' name, amen.